What comes to mind when you hear the word Sabbath? Do you recall a strict religious upbringing when on the Sabbath you weren't allowed to do most of the fun things that you really wanted to do? Or maybe you remember when the so-called blue laws were common and certain activities were prohibited on Sundays. Or maybe, like me, you think of large family gatherings after worship when food was shared and stories were told and laughter filled the house. Whatever comes to mind for you, for many of us in our time, pausing our daily responsibilities and activities to keep Sabbath seems like a nice idea that we can't possibly fit into our lives. It's more the stuff of wistful daydreams than embodied practice. We become so wrapped up in the musts and shoulds and oughts of our lives that we can't imagine stopping for even a minute, much less a whole day. Must, should, and ought become the names of the taskmasters that drive our days and disrupt our nights, a lot like Pharaoh's taskmasters in Egypt drove the Israelites to meet their ever-increasing quota for bricks. Or, if against all odds we do manage to stop, we end up fretting so much over what isn't getting done and the time that we're squandering in rest that we replace that rest of Sabbath with anxious worry. Along with those internal struggles in keeping Sabbath, in our communities, sports and other activities now rarely carve out Sundays as a day free from practices and meetings and games and meets, adding to the endless frenzy of activity that siphons away our time and consumes our energy. Keeping Sabbath, for many of us, is a nice idea that we just can't fathom how to squeeze into our lives. But regardless of the personal and cultural challenges to keeping Sabbath and our own spotty record of faithfulness in keeping Sabbath, God continues to offer the gift of Sabbath to us. The notion of keeping Sabbath is probably most familiar to us from its appearance in the Ten Commandments. But you may never have noticed this. There are two different versions of that fourth commandment, the commandment to keep Sabbath, each of which invites us to experience a different facet of the practice. In Exodus chapter 20, Sabbath keeping is grounded in God's work of creation. Hear these words from Exodus 20:11, where we're told that in 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that's in it, the sea and all that is in it, but rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. In this version of the Sabbath commandment, a time of rest and cessation or stopping from work is built into the very creation by God, just as Jesse explained to the children a few minutes ago. Because God rested on the seventh day after God's labors, God's people are commanded to rest on the seventh day as well. For this version of the commandment, keeping Sabbath follows God's design of good and necessary work, punctuated and fulfilled in Sabbath rest. In keeping Sabbath, God's people are reminded that, quote, their worth lay not in their own productivity, but in God's primordial love for them, in the words of Episcopal priest and author Barbara Brown Taylor. The version of the Sabbath commandment, the fourth commandment, that we find in Deuteronomy, which Jesse just read a few moments ago, adds another rationale for keeping Sabbath. God's liberation of the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. Here, Sabbath keeping is grounded in historical memory of the Israelites' time as slaves in Egypt, where they were reduced to bitter servitude by Pharaoh and his taskmasters and their never-ending production quotas. God heard the people when they cried out in their misery, and God liberated them from bondage, bringing them out of Egypt. Dorothy Bass notes in her comments on the practice of Sabbath that slaves can't take a day off, while free people can. The command to keep Sabbath in Deuteronomy makes this truth a part of the living practice of the people of Israel. God is not only the God who creates and rests and loves, but also the one who acts on behalf of those who cry out in bondage and liberates them. And one fruit of God's liberation is the practice of keeping Sabbath. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus declares that the Sabbath was made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath. Here he's placing clear emphasis on human need, in our story, the need of hunger, over the importance of Sabbath regulations, no matter how well-intentioned or time-honored they may be. Jesus' words and his actions underscore that Sabbath, rightly understood, is God's gift to us. It's not a burden that's placed upon us. Of course, we can't practice keeping Sabbath in the same way as the ancient Israelites or Jesus and his disciples. Our world is vastly different from theirs. Sundays for us are no longer set aside from the activities and the responsibilities of other days. And even within our own church community, not everyone has the ability or the inclination to practice Sabbath in the same ways as others do. For many of us, Sunday remains the primary day for Sabbath practice, for a time of rest and stopping from our labors. For others, though, work schedules or family responsibilities push them to seek out other days and times in which to keep Sabbath. Some of us find Sabbath rest in quiet, while others experience the gift of Sabbath out in nature. Some experience rest and rejuvenation in physical exertion or any number of other ways. But however and whenever we keep Sabbath, it is the same creating and liberating God who meets us. However and whenever we keep Sabbath, we are reminded that God did not create or sanction a world of endless labor or anxious busyness. However and whenever we keep Sabbath, it is the living presence of Jesus who calls us to see the gift of Sabbath to us and to everyone. However and whenever we keep Sabbath, we are offered a foretaste of God's kingdom. However and whenever we keep Sabbath, it is God's good and loving gift to us. The root meaning of Sabbath is to desist or stop. In keeping Sabbath, we desist from work for a time to acknowledge that God's good creation is not dependent on our labor, important as that may be. In Sabbath, we put a stop to our usual tasks for a time to remember that God intends that no pharaohs or taskmasters, external or internal, will reduce us to bitter servitude. In keeping Sabbath, we cease our earning for a time and open our hands to receive God's freely offered gifts. Sabbath keeping sharpens our eyes and our ears and our hearts and our minds for signs of God's kingdom already abroad in our world. Keeping Sabbath is a practice of our faith that will change us. It will make plain when our labors transform themselves into taskmasters and when we have traded our freedom for servitude. It will make us aware when we begin to live as if our lives depended more upon our own efforts than upon God's good gifts. And it will offer us a foretaste of God's kingdom. Our author, Barbara Brown Taylor, who we met a few moments ago, describes what changed for her when she began to practice keeping Sabbath intentionally during Lent. In her words, its effect was immediate. Relationships became more spacious. Prayer became more spacious. Time itself became more spacious. Instead of charging out of the gate on Monday mornings, I found myself sauntering instead, still relishing the freedom of the day before. There was still never enough time to get everything done, but I finally understood that there never would be. There would only be enough time to live with as much gratitude as I could muster. Sabbath is God's good gift to each and all of us, a gift of rest and freedom, and a foretaste of God's kingdom made known to us in Jesus. Friends, let us open our hands and receive with as much gratitude as we can muster. Amen.